oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. This Thanksgiving weekend, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling cases and conversations that we've had in the last year. Here's another one of those conversations.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
This last week, I had the opportunity to sit down and have an in-depth conversation with private investigator Thomas Brennan. Tom is the private investigator that's been hired by the parents of Ellen Greenberg, Joshua and Sandy Greenberg, as they search for justice and answers in the death of their daughter. A death that was quite clearly a homicide, considering she was stabbed 20 times. Several of those stab wounds, fatal blows, which would make it a physical impossibility for her to continue stabbing herself up to 20 times. The problem with this is her death has been labeled a suicide by the Philadelphia Police Department, a department which refuses to investigate the death further and refuses to change the cause of death to homicide, which it rightfully should be. Why is that? Why is it so difficult? And why are so many refusing to speak the truth about the death of Ellen Greenberg? We discuss all of that and more in this five-part series, our conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the death of Ellen Greenberg. New episodes every day this week, Monday through Friday, here on the podcast. Thomas, thanks for joining me. Let's start at the very beginning. How did you get connected to this case?
Two friends of mine, one a retired dentist and the other a judge in the Dauphin County Court of Common Pleas, William Tully. They both were friends of the family, and the parents were struggling. Mm-hmm. And they knew what I did, you know, that I still worked homicides. So in cold cases. So they arranged for a meeting with the parents, and we sat down, and the parents told me what in fact they were doing. This was March of 2013. Mm-hmm. And they provided me with the documentation and some photographs that they had, themed photographs that were taken by the medical examiner's investigator. I told them, I said, well, give me a chance to take a look at these, and then I'll get back to you. I got back to them, and I told them, I said, well, in my opinion, it in fact is a homicide. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, the father, Josh, he's a character. He said, well, what's this going to cost me? And I said, well, I don't make money on somebody else's grief. I said, if you cover my expenses going to Philadelphia, I said, and back, I said, that'll be it.
Sure.
You don't have to worry about my time. And that's the way it's been. And that's how I got involved in it.
This is obviously a very troubling case for obviously many reasons. One of the first most obvious being the likely physical improbability or impossibility that Ellen could have stabbed herself 20 times and made it through 20 times and still survived long enough to do that. When you initially heard about this case and you saw some of that evidence and you heard the story, if we're just focusing on the manner of death, what was going through your mind when you learned about it, first being looked at as a homicide, then a suicide, homicide, back to suicide? What was your reaction to that?
I started looking at it, and looking at the crime scene, and there's, first of all, I understand what, the parents told me that, the fiance broke into the apartment, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It was a real stormy, I think it was the biggest nor'easter that ever hit Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. A lot of snow. And they had an early dismissal at Ellen's school.
Okay.
The victim. And the one thing I'll never forget what they told me right at the beginning. There were a series of phone calls, about, probably 10 or 15 calls, all outgoing, mm-hmm. and started with a code. And they said, look at this. See how she was evidently she was really having a problem here. Look at all these phone calls. Mm-hmm. I said, did anybody ever call them to see who they were? They said, no. So I started calling them.
Sure.
They were the parents of the children in her classroom. Okay?
Yeah.
And the code was that they didn't show where they were coming from. They didn't show Ellen's cell phone number. That's all it was.
Sure. Sure.
So, that's how things started. And then you take a look at the crime scene itself, the photograph. There are no police photographs, I can tell you that right now, of the crime scene. The Philadelphia Police Forensics Unit was never at the crime scene.
Why?
Okay.
Wouldn't this just be a common sense thing to do with someone who's been stabbed 20 times?
Well, what everybody has to understand here, Tony, is that the police did not know about the stab wounds to the back of the neck or the scalp until autopsy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next day, the 27th.
Okay.
Nobody knew about those. So the police at the scene, who said this was a suicide, and I have documentation to that effect.
Yeah.
They said it was a suicide that night. Mm-hmm. Okay. They didn't move the body. They didn't do anything. They never called the forensics unit out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That night, the night of the 26th, when at 6:40, when she was pronounced by an EMS, you know, fireman, mm-hmm. okay, Philadelphia Police Department fireman. Nobody, at that time, nobody knew about those wounds. Nobody knew about the wounds at the back of the neck. So the only thing they did was suicide, okay? Mm-hmm. Right from day one. And, well, the next morning, while Ellen's being autopsied, the victim is being autopsied, the husband, James Schwartz, the prominent attorney uncle, James Schwartzman, mm-hmm. calls and wants to get into the apartment. Okay? So the property manager told him, she said, let me call the police. So she calls the police, and the police said, yeah, you can let him in.
And this, so we understand who this is, James Schwartzman. He's a prominent attorney. He's part of which family here, Samuel Goldberg or Ellen Greenberg's family?
Goldberg.
Okay, so part of
Samuel Goldberg.
Part of her fiance's family. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So the police tell the property manager, yeah, you can let him in. The property manager says, well, it's all bloody. Mm-hmm. The scene's all bloody. They said, well, you can call crime scene cleanups. They'll come over and clean it up. So she calls crime scene cleanups. They come over and clean and sanitize the scene.
Okay.
He comes in. The prominent attorney uncle and another individual comes in. They come in. And not only do they get a suit and shoes for the fiance, mm-hmm. for the funeral, okay, they also remove all the laptops. They remove the victim's laptop, her work laptop, her personal laptop, and her cell phone, and all of her credit cards, her wallet, everything. He takes it all, including the fiance's laptop also. Okay? So anyone who says that, well, you know, anything that comes out those laptops at all in the future can be challenged. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because the police should have seized those right at the scene, but they didn't. They left them.
Is that because they were still thinking of this as being a suicide, so there wasn't a lot of oversight? Or
need to take them all.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have an incident memo by a uniformed police officer that was at the scene. Okay. And he says in his incident report, okay, it's titled Suicide. Mm-hmm. Okay. Suicide. And it says, homicide was there, and so was the medical examiner's office. Okay? Mm-hmm. Guess who shows up to 28?
Who?
At the apartment. The police.
Okay.
To perform a search.
All these days later.
Now, the medical examiner said on the 27th, this is a homicide.
Okay.
So now, because the scene was never, ever secured, now they have to go out and get a search warrant, okay, to go back in and search the apartment. Mm-hmm. Well, what are they going to get from the apartment? Nothing, because it's been cleaned and sanitized.
Yeah.
About the only thing that you could do, maybe you might get some results with a luminol test. Mm-hmm. They didn't even do that.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
There's more to come in my conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the murder of Ellen Greenberg. New segments playing Monday through Friday this week on the podcast. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of this very intriguing story. Stay with us.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.